Blog Talk Radio.
Hi students, this is your instructor Jessica McBride joining you again on a Blog Talk Radio lecture. I guess we can call it more of a conversation. This will be a shorter one. I just wanted to speak with you directly about a change that Rochelle and Meg and I decided to make in how we're doing the Cater social media. And this isn't a bad thing. It's actually a really good learning experience because as you've learned from the beginning of the semester, professional social media is all about the analytics. It's all about trial and error. In other words, it's about studying what's working, what isn't working, fine-tuning, correcting, trying new things, piloting different approaches, studying the analytics to see what works and what doesn't work. You're sort of nothing without the analytics when it comes to professional social media management, and social media managers should be constantly studying their analytics. And what works for one site doesn't always work for another site, so it's always sort of a new experience when you try running the social for a different organization. So here's where we're at right now in how we think things are going. Rochelle and Meg, who are our clients, so they're the people who really matter here, they told me they're really happy with you guys. They feel that the students are doing a great job. They've seen a dramatic improvement in platform growth, audience growth, reach, engagement, things like that since the class took over the social media. And so they're really happy with that. I mean, obviously there's some things that, you know, they critiqued and that they're hoping people do a little bit differently. And those are all really good constructive learning experiences. You have to pay attention to what the clients' desires are and what the client's feedback would be. And primarily, you know, their constructive criticism revolves around, you know, their hope that people find individuals to showcase who are more directly related to Cater in some way, such as, you know, perhaps an elderly individual who's attending a continuing education class, you know, or a student who's involved in the Cater programming. And obviously the researchers, people have been talking to them. In other words, they're hoping that, you know, you guys reach out more to people who have a link to Cater versus just maybe your grandfather or an elderly person in your own life. And so that was a bit of a clarification that I think was important. They also really like the original content. You know, we are impressed and your client's impressed when you guys take still photos, you get original videos. You all know how to do an edited sequence using iMovie. You know, a simple, even 50-second, 30-second even sequenced video like that can look really phenomenal on social media. So I think we're all hoping that you guys do more of that. And I'm excited to see now that you know how to use Canva, what you do with some of the graphics too, because the ones that you turned in to me, I was really hoping a lot of those get on the platforms because they were really, really good. The only other key point of constructive criticism that Cater had, and you know that if you read the written document that Cater sent out, was to make sure you thoroughly research and understand what you're posting. And they felt in a few cases that students didn't really understand maybe the underlying issues relating to an aging topic that they were posting on. They didn't think that the post communicated perhaps like a depth of knowledge about the issues. And there was, you know, there were a few cases where they felt outdated content was shared, things like that. And so it speaks to simply like taking the time to do the research for your client. Because you never know which social media management job you'll end up in. And, you know, you may end up in a field where, you know, you have to be sharing information that you really know nothing about when you come into the job, such as in this case, aging. Okay, so, however, overall, they told me they were really happy with how things are going. That being said, I had a gut instinct, just a feeling that we're posting too much. Now, I'm not 100% positive about this because, and I just want to walk you through my thought process as a social media manager here. In looking at the analytics, we're growing the site, and we're doing really well on Twitter as well. And so we've had a smattering of unlikes, which you always want to watch. And I think, you know, if we're inundating people with things, they may unlike us. They might get annoyed by that. There might be sort of a low tolerance level for how much people want to hear from Cater, you know, every single day, which might be different from, say, a news site where people are sort of constantly looking for the breaking news of the day. But anyway, we've had a smattering of unlikes, but nothing dramatic. And the number of likes that we've grown the site by have outpaced by a lot the number of unlikes, which is something like 5 unlikes. And they weren't clustered. They're just kind of sprinkled out. And I think most sites have some of that. So I don't see a glaring, like, issue in the metrics. I don't. I feel actually that the number of posts we've been doing has grown our reach, grown our engagement, grown our impressions, grown all of that, grown our likes, grown our followers. And one thing that we need to remember is when we're putting a post out there, the organic reach on Facebook, for example, is pretty low, and Facebook kind of rigs that a little bit because they're trying to push social media managers toward more paid content. So I've seen some studies that say organic reach on Facebook has dropped to between 10 and 15%. What that means is if you put out a post, it just sort of is naturally going to get to maybe 10 to 15% of the people that like your site. My point is, if we're posting 3 times a day, which is what we're, you know, scheduled to be doing now, that doesn't mean everybody who likes our site like gets hammered with all 3 of those posts. They may never see all 3 of those in their news feed. And in fact, it's likely that they won't. So there's an argument that our strategy makes sense because we're reaching more people by posting more. It's quite honestly a strategy that news sites use more so. However, we wanted to try an experiment just because they just have a gut instinct that the sweet spot here might be a little bit less. We tried posting twice over spring break. And granted, there are fewer people around campus to perhaps be paying attention to social media. I don't know, maybe people are on a beach somewhere in Florida. So that could have contributed also. But the 2 posts a week didn't work for us. I wanted to try that in part because, I want to be really blunt and clear, a lot of ad PR social media platforms, they post a lot less than we are. And please keep in mind that I have 33 students here, so I also have to give you each enough to do, you know, in order to grade and have a real experience and be able to put Cater on your resume. So I have to deal with that part of it too. But we also have to do what is, you know, good for Cater because they're our client. So at any rate, many ad PR sites, they post a lot less on social media, especially Facebook. I'll give you an example. UWM, their professional Facebook page, the, you know, official page for UWM. I spoke to the social media strategist early on in the semester, and she told me they post 3 times a week, which is akin to what we did over spring break. They found that their engagement goes down if they post more. That's interesting. But we didn't find that. So for Cater, and maybe it's because we're starting with a smaller number of overall likes, whereas UWM, you know, has thousands and thousands of people who already like their site. So their organic reach, even if it's 10%, is going to be a lot more than ours, which shows why it's so important to just sort of grow your overall number of likes. But when we posted 2 times in 1 week, our metrics just sort of flatlined, to be honest with you. Nothing was happening on our site. Our engagement dropped. Our likes trickled away to nothing. Our impressions on Twitter dwindled. Sort of everything just sort of flatlined. And so Meg, Rochelle, and I, in looking at the analytics, we don't think it works to post 2 times a week for Cater. People forget about us. It's not going to do much to sort of increase, you know, Cater's presence. But right now we're doing 21 times a week. Now let me give you another comparative. I always say in news reporting class, you know, compared to what? Always ask yourself, compared to what? On the other end of the spectrum, there's news sites. So I had the social media manager for Channel 4 in Milwaukee, WTMJ.com, come to campus. He was speaking for my student media club. Some of you were there. Very interesting talk. And he said that Channel 4 posts on its Facebook page every 45 minutes. So that's rather stunning, right, to see the contrast in terms of the volume of posting that a news site would do compared to an ad PR site. And they feel that increases their engagement and their reach and that people, you know, they want constantly updated news content. They're turning to Channel 4 for breaking news. And they believe consistency is really important, so that's why they try to do it every 45 minutes. And we haven't been quite as consistent, I would say. Although we're going to be sort of pinpointing, you know, times that we want to post a little bit more specifically with Cater. Now, this man, his name is Marcus Riley, he also stated in this talk that Channel 6 posts, he said, 80 times a day on Facebook. And yes, you heard me right. They post 80 times a day on Facebook. He felt that was too much. He said that it was kind of the shotgun approach to it. But on the other hand, he said that their numbers are higher than any other TV station in the market. So on the one extreme, you've got UWM.edu and its Facebook page 3 times a week. And then you've got Channel 6, a news page, doing it, you know, 80 times a day, which is just, again, a striking difference. So where should Cater end up? That's kind of the bottom line. So we tried the 2 times a week. We flatlined. We're trying, you know, 21 times a week. You know, it's growing things. We've had the smattering of unlikes, but it seems to be moving in the right direction. But I just kind of have a gut feeling that maybe that's a little bit too much for Cater. And I was thinking that maybe the sweet spot is in between. But we won't know until we try it. So Rochelle and Meg and I decided we're going to change how the teams do things starting on Monday. But we want to make sure that the amount of work required stays constant, because otherwise it's unfair to people that already, you know, completed their social media teams. So what we're going to do is you are going to post 4 times during your given week. So each student on the social media team will post 4 times, not 7, when their week comes up. And we are going to pinpoint the times of day that, you know, we want those posts made. It's going to be very clear in the social media content calendar when you go there. I will create it before Monday for next week's team, and it's going to be very clear, and you go and you're going to claim the time slots for your 4 posts, okay? Because we realized that there are certain times of day that, you know, studying the analytics, that work better for Cater. There's this swath of time in, you know, like afternoon and also in the evening when people tend, it seems, to post, to read Cater. And they're interested in what Cater has to say. And so so we're going to take advantage of that, and we're going to direct you a little bit more in the times we want things posted, these 4 posts. However, keep this in mind. This is very, very, very important. You can schedule posts. So if a time slot doesn't work for you because you're in class or you have another job or something, like, we get that, and you need to go back into the PowerPoint if you can't remember how to do it, because I put screenshots on this, and you get to schedule your posts, which is, again, the beauty of social media, you know, sites like Hootsuite and things, TweetDeck, and also just, you know, going into the Facebook page itself. All right, So the new teams starting Monday, not this week, but starting Monday, are going to post 4 times, not 7, each person. So that'll reduce from 21 to 12 posts in a given week. And then what we're going to do is at the end of the semester, we're going to analyze the metrics. And we're going to compare everything, and then we're going to share that information with you. And this is what you would be doing as the social media manager, super important. And we're going to see, okay, how did the analytics compare posting 12 times a week? How did it compare posting 2 times a week? And how did it compare posting 21 times a week? What works best for our platform? But now you might be wondering, okay, you just said that the students are going to have to do the same amount of work. So how's that going to work where now the, you know, the new teams, they only have to do 4? How is that fair? Here's how it's fair. The other 3 posts, you know, to equal the 7, falling under the posting content categories that we created and we still want you to adhere to, the students are still going to have to make, but they are going to be scheduled out for weeks in the summer. So you're going to schedule them way ahead. Create them and schedule. You got to create them your given week, because otherwise it's unfair. It wouldn't be fair to, you know, give some teams way more time to work on, you know, months to work on this, and others, you know, you only get that week. So to boil this down again, it's going to be codified in a written document that I will share along with this Blog Talk Radio discussion. The new teams will still have to make 7 posts, but they're going to post 4 of them only in their given week. They're going to schedule the other 3 out for a week in the summer, where in the assignment sheet that I'm creating, it will delineate what week and what, you know, when we want you to post 4. Now, you should choose the posting categories carefully because obviously ones that have a timely hook should be the ones you post now, and the ones you schedule out for the summer should be timeless. They could be timeless features, you know, on some of the original content on a researcher or, you know, a student involved in CATER, an elderly person involved in CATER or something like that. So that's the bottom line. And here's one advantage of this is it gives CATER consistent content throughout the summer too, which CATER is really happy about because they were going to have practically dormant sites during the summer. So they're excited about this. So I think this is a really interesting experiment, and I think it's important that we do what works for the client, and we have a realistic experience here, and we do study the metrics, and we do sort of fine-tune our approach as we go along, because that's what you need to do in the real world. Like, you're not just sort of throwing darts blindfolded at the wall when you do professional social media. Like, all those darts, so to speak, should be very precisely guided by the metrics. I'm going to make this point one more time because I think it's important. I'm not seeing like a surefire narrative in the metrics that say the amount we're posting is bad. Like, the metrics aren't telling me that. It's just something I want to play with. I want to see if it's better for us to do it a little bit less, which would be more in line with a lot of, you know, ad PR sites, quite honestly. And I want to make that clear to you guys so you don't go into a professional setting and think you should be posting 21 times, you know, a week for some company's Facebook site. That might not work at all for that company. I mean, I would again refer you to the example of UWM doing it 3 times a week. And so there's sort of no magic number. It really is unique to that platform and its audience. And so we'll see. Okay. So that is what I wanted to tell you guys all about. It's kind of a long-winded, I suppose, narrative here, but I wanted to talk to you directly about it because it's a pretty significant change, and I wanted to give you my thought process behind it and CATER's thought process behind it. And I also wanted to let you know that overall CATER thinks you guys are doing a really good job, and you shouldn't interpret constructive criticism here or there as some sign that they don't think this is working or something like that. In fact, they're very excited about it, and they communicated to me that they're very happy overall with how the class is doing. But obviously, like, any client is going to have suggestions that we need to pay attention to. I would encourage you also to reach out to me if you have any questions at any point in time in the class, if you're confused about anything, anything like that whatsoever. I think the class is doing a really good job. Like, I've been impressed with the quality of the work. Oh, I did want to say one final thing here before I sign off, and that's just a little bit of a discussion on how you're going to be graded for the social media project with CATER. And there is a grading rubric that I would direct you to that's posted under course content on D2L with the assignment sheet for the CATER project, and it goes into depth about, you know, how I'll be grading you. But what I wanted to underline and sort of underscore, because I've received a few questions from students about this, is that I will not be grading you on what your team members do whatsoever, like at all. I mean, I'm saying you're on a team just because you're assigned to the same week. I would actually have preferred it if it was just one person per week, but we have too many students in the class to do that and not enough weeks in the semester. However, you are absolutely, just to say it again, not being graded on what other people do during your week or don't do. I am solely going to single out the post that you created. And how am I going to know what you did versus what someone else did? That is why it's so critically important that you log each one of your Facebook posts and your tweets into that assessment tracker. That is part of your grade. Like, you've got to follow the assignment sheet and make sure you fill out the content calendar and the assessment tracker. And so at the end of your week, put all your posts into the assessment tracker. I know your engagement's going to grow. You know, it's going to grow just every day as the posts sit there and garner more traffic. So it's a measurement of, like, you know, 1 week's of engagement on the posts. I get that. I understand that. But remember, the assessment tracker asks you to list author for each post. So I'm going to be able to go in there and know student so-and-so wrote these tweets and these Facebook posts, and then I can look at them more closely when I'm doing the grade. I'm obviously going to look at whether you met the minimum requirements. You're not probably not going to get a great grade if you didn't fill out the content calendar, or you didn't do the required number of posts, or you didn't fill out the assessment or do the essay. These things, like these housekeeping things, like following the minimum requirements, super, super important. I am going to look at the metrics. In other words, like, did your posts work? Did they take off? Were they duds? I will tell you that it's possible to get an A if you don't have the highest metrics in the class. If I feel that you worked really hard, that you showed enormous initiative, you showed creativity, you followed all the requirements and rules, you got your posts on the content calendar, you had some original content, you know, you weren't just sort of sharing things other people did, et cetera, et cetera. You know, that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for initiative. I'm looking for creativity. I'm looking for originality. And I'm looking for adherence to the requirements. And if you do all these things, you know, I would be inclined to give you an A, even if you didn't have the highest engagement on your post. Now, if you have the highest engagement in the class and I look and it's just soaring and, you know, it stands out, and I'm going to resort that sheet and we're going to see what were the top posts of the entire semester by different metrics, and I'll share that with you at the end of the semester. Excuse me. Obviously, if you're at the top and you just dominated, you know, that you would be more likely to get an A. Now, other things can also hurt your grade, which would be sort of the social media horror stories we talked about, you know, factual errors, not researching things properly, spelling names wrong, getting titles wrong, things like that will also contribute to the grade. This is, again, spelled out on the grading rubric, but I just wanted to sort of verbally talk about it because I got a few questions about it, and that's how I'm grading you. What you should primarily realize is that you'll be graded holistically on it. I'm not really just not looking at one thing, unless there's some huge error, you know, huge social media horror story that could torpedo the whole thing. I'm really looking at the total picture of how you individually did, not how anyone else did. Okay, well, I've taken enough of your time here, and I appreciate you listening and all the hard work that you're doing in the class. I hear my dogs fighting in the background here. If you hear that noise and wondering what it is, my puppies. I have two puppies, and they're fighting. But at any rate, so without further ado, I'm going to sign off now. I appreciate the hard work that you've been doing in the class. And please, if you have any questions, reach out to me. Do not hesitate. Call my cell phone. Email me. Stop by office hours, and I would be glad to help you or answer any of the questions that you have. And please read the updated assignment sheet that explains this change in sort of codified in writing. All right, thank you very much, and have a good day.